This is Engineer Eric from the Jimmy Doan Show, and you're listening to part two of the June 19th Hangar Dogs podcast with special guest Jimmy Doan.
Welcome to Hangar Dogs podcast number 22. This is part two of a two-part show. This podcast was recorded in the Hangar Dogs studio in Payton, Colorado on June 19, 2006. In the studio is Gene and Stitch, with special guest Jimmy, from the Jimmy Doan Show. Now, here are the Hangar Dogs.
Go for it, Senator Salazar, dude.
Okay, right. Done with that. What's next?
What else you got?
Me? Well, I don't know if you guys have heard about Joey Vento. He owns Geno's, which is the Philly cheesesteak place.
Geno's, the steakhouse, yes.
It's like the best.
He's in the news, man.
Yeah, it's top-notch. He's been a hands-on owner for that cheesesteak place.
Is there such a thing as bottom-notch?
Yes, there is.
Okay.
It's actually un-top-notch.
Okay.
The terminology.
So that is severely un-top-notch. Is basically bottom-notch.
Just curious.
We talk Navy
it's
talk
so
here.
And there's not even a notch.
You know, Jimmy was never in the military,
yeah.
So he.
A military thing. That's just some crap we came up with.
Okay. If we talked Air Force, it would be Sierra Hotel.
That's true.
Shit hot.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's the same as
Gene uses.
Okay.
Gene uses potty talk at a regular basis.
I can't imagine. This is a family show.
Yeah, I was just explaining.
Okay. Yeah.
So when you hear us in the future, say Sierra Hotel.
Yeah, Sierra Hotel.
Same, top notch.
Or Sierra Hotel.
No, it's got to be macho. Sierra Hotel.
That doesn't work,
I'm
afraid.
I was just trying.
Hey, so nearly a year ago, Joey put a little sticker on a window above the counter where people order their food. And this is the sticker that's so controversial. He said the message says, "This is America. When ordering, please speak English."
So, that doesn't seem like an unreasonable request.
No one complained. No one, you know, got all excited about it. But suddenly, almost mysteriously, the little sticker of the pro-English message became a big deal. The city's Human Relations Commission served Joey with official papers claiming the sticker could be considered discriminatory. Later, one of the members of the commission told a newspaper reporter that the sticker should be removed so that people who don't speak English won't feel unwelcome. Well, if they don't, how would they read the sticker, right?
Well,
that's
hello.
For openers.
Yeah, top-notch that.
Well, it's obvious that the HRC has entirely too much time on their hands.
They must. Well, at any rate, so Joey Ventos,
And money.
Yeah, he doesn't work 7 days a week because he has to. He does it because he loves his job, the people in the city. So when the bullies at City Hall started sending him certified letters demanding that he take down the sticker, he said, "I will never take down that sticker. Never, period, end of sentence." In fact, Joey dug in his heels and said that he would rather let them board up his restaurant and they could all stand around and watch that bright, clean, orange building rot for all he cared. He just will not take down that sticker. At any rate, customers in a line, they say, you know, Joey doesn't discriminate against anyone. It's not in his nature to hurt people. He certainly wouldn't risk losing a sale even to someone who can't speak English. After all, this guy didn't become a self-made man because he's a dope. But to consider his civil, logical request that discrimination is obscene. A businessman doesn't have the right to expect his customers to order a product in English. I would even argue that he should have the right to refuse service to someone who doesn't have the courtesy to be able to say one cheese steak in English. Isn't no shoes, no shirt, no service still in effect at most restaurants? Joey doesn't turn anyone away. He can't promise that the order will be correct if you can't order it in English. After all, there's a big difference between a cheese wit and a provolone. At any rate, the Philadelphia Human Relations Commission, they picked the wrong guy to bully over this politically correct nonsense.
And I actually seen an interview with him, and one of the things that I think, I don't know if it's in that article or not, but he was even, people who don't speak English, he was even volunteering to teach them how to order a Philly, I mean, his menu, we're not talking about brand name restaurant here. His menu is kind of straightforward.
Oh no, it's like the best. It is an icon.
It's like, you know, you order a Philly
sandwich
with.
That's
where
you go in the world. If you want to get a cheesesteak, you go to Geno's. But that is the one place in the world to get a Philly cheesesteak.
But he offered to teach people how that couldn't speak
sure,
English
I would
to
too.
Teach him how to order his Philly cheesesteak.
I don't
sandwich.
Understand. I mean, what's wrong with pointing?
Well,
number one, and he should have put the sign up and you know. tiene que hablar español, inglés.
Sí.
You know, you must speak English, you know, that kind of thing.
Sí.
It's a neat story because he's really dug his heels in, and now they don't know what to do. In fact, I want to hear
the results of this.
I think I heard a story where they sent some stooges in speaking Spanish to test him, to try to get him to, I don't know if it was part of they had cops with them or what, but they were actually
the Spanish sting
they were
operation.
Actually trying to push the whole you know trying to get him to do something. Yeah, the Philly cheesesteak sting.
Yeah. That's right.
How hard is it to say cheese wit?
Yeah, that's right.
How hard is that? Cheese wit.
Well,
that's
like
with
I say,
onions or without onions, a cheesesteak with or without
it's
cheese a
Philly
wit.
Cheesesteak. You go to the window and put your finger up with a one. You know, it's like you get one.
That's it. You're right. You're absolutely right. It's not a very diverse menu, so it should be
give
pretty
me
simple.
One.
A steak de fromage.
Yeah, steak de fromage dickery. I think part of it is the fact that you know he's got people that work there. They don't speak Spanish. Just you know, order in English so that they can tell you. You know, they understand what you want and they will get you what you're asking for. That's all he's saying.
To me, it's like, go away. He's a businessman. Yeah. He has the right to refuse service to anybody.
Right.
I don't care whether they speak. If he doesn't like the color of their Hawaiian shirt, you ought to be able to turn him away.
Nope.
It's his business.
Not anymore.
It's his business, man.
Nope. Not anymore.
Yeah, because he could turn.
Not anymore.
He could turn away Jimmy, but Jimmy's got a kind of nice Aloha shirt on. Right?
No, this is my Route 66.
Jimmy's
shirt.
Got his Route 66 shirt on.
We're going on Route 40.
That's a classic.
That's a classic.
Ms. Jimmy has a nice Aloha shirt on.
That's another Hawaiian shirt.
That's right.
It's not a Hawaiian shirt, by the way.
It's not?
It is an Aloha shirt. Anybody that says it's a Hawaiian shirt is not...
Okay, that's obviously...
I'm trying to keep you guys straight.
That's why we have Stitch on the program.
Cut off his mic.
You're embarrassing yourself internationally and with all Hawaiians.
You know, but I find it...
You're not a kama'aina if you call it a Hawaiian shirt, okay? You're no kama'aina. Of course, you're not.
I'm
so I guess
Hawaiian shirt connoisseur. You know, let me tell you this little story.
See,
I have
you just can't get them off.
I bought a whole bunch of Hawaiian shirts over the years.
Aloha shirts.
And
humor me.
A sweet little lady that lives down the street from me. And in fact, Jimmy and Mrs. Jimmy in Grandma's room.
We're staying with you tonight.
Jimmy and Mrs. Jimmy are staying with us tonight and Grandma.
That's because Jean took their keys.
But in the bedroom that they're in, there is a quilt. On the table. And incidentally, you guys, that quilt has been on display in the governor's mansion. And that's a Hawaiian quilt.
So you stole it.
Well, let's not talk about it.
Okay, all right.
I was never convicted.
Yeah.
I was never convicted of that. But let me bring this home. The Hawaiian shirts. I had a whole bunch of Hawaiian shirts. And this lady who did that quilt, who was a neighbor, and we have several quilts on our house from her because she did, and that's hand quilted. And I mean, that quilting is hand. I mean, she spent God knows how much time on that quilt. I commissioned her to take my Hawaiian shirts, and she's going to make me a Hawaiian quilt out of my Hawaiian shirt.
That's not unheard
of.
And
it's not an Aloha quilt. It's a Hawaiian quilt.
All right, whatever.
It is. I mean, it is. It's a Hawaiian quilt. They call them Hawaiian quilts, and there are certain flower designs.
The ubiquitous they.
They.
That's right. Love they.
Those who know.
That's right.
These are the Hawaiian blanket overlords.
Eric, cut this
they.
Whole segment out. We don't need to talk about quilts, but, you know, it's what
well, let me go, as long as you cut that out, Eric, we're going to go back to the restaurants for a second.
We're not cutting anything out.
Okay, no, nothing gets to this. That's because it's a collector's item.
Gene always wants to cut stuff out. And Gene, that was just the funniest thing we've ever had.
That's why I'm nervous about Eric editing this instead of me.
He's editing
this? You can edit it too.
I lose my editing.
You edit
it. Editorial power.
No, you can. I'm sure you can work
Eric,
it out.
Eric, the engineer, our good
but
friend.
I do notice, I don't know about you guys, but I eat at Chinese restaurants, and I'm telling you, you have to point at those.
I do all the time.
I mean, and there's no sign that says, must pick a Chinese to eat here.
Yeah.
Or number 56.
Is that your rice hockey thing?
Number 56.
That's right.
And you get what you want.
You'll see it. He'll do it at some point. He's guaranteed to do some rice hockey move
okay,
here sometime.
Okay, I didn't know.
He always does.
Okay. Yeah.
Number 56.
No, but when you think, seriously, in Japanese, same way, they have the sushi bar. I mean, they have it all laid out, and what you do is you go pick it up. Nobody says a word.
Well, you're right. But so what? They work there, and they do what they can to service you.
Well,
I want to see
when the HRC or Human Relations Commission or the human rights people or whatever in Philly come by with the SWAT team and to close this guy down. I mean, that would be so cool.
They're not. This guy is such an icon that people just go ape crap.
Well, apparently there's a bunch of Spanish-speaking people, but they got some people on their team, I think, that are – well, the Stooges,
right.
One thing.
Yeah, the Stooges.
You know, they got them to go in. So, I mean, the die is cast, so to speak. I mean, is this – how are they going to save face, or do they have to? Governments always like to
they
save.
They sell so many now.
He'll go. They'll – before the dust settles, he's out of business, or he'll take the sign down.
No, he won't.
No.
See? Now, okay.
He's not going to take this the sign
is,
down.
Okay, what we want to do is, do you have a place where you can, can't you put up one of those little vote things on your website?
Yeah.
We need to have the vote. We need to have the listeners vote to find out if this is going to go or stay.
I like the idea.
The problem with government and the bureaucracy is they have endless supply of capital. A little guy.
They have taxpayers' money.
A little guy, they're going to close.
Well, they use your own money against
you.
They're
not. I don't think they're going to, though. I think the public in Philadelphia will just throw such a hissy fit. I mean, that would be a politically untenable thing. I don't think.
It would be neat to say, because we, you know, around the shop, we have a saying, what we need is the revolution. We need a revolution is the only way to stop this. And, in fact, I was going to do it tonight, but I'm going to hold it off until the next week.
The revolution?
I wasn't prepared because one of my guys, and Jimmy met him today, Steve. Steve is kind of a neat guy.
Kind of.
Well, he's a – I mean, he is a really good
Does
guy.
Does he have a substantial gun collection?
Well,
that's Steve.
He denies it. Notch. He denies it, of course. But
yeah, well, I would too.
But what I had him do was –
bazookas aren't supposed to be owned by the private.
But he has GSR all over his hands.
I know I'm digressing here, but let me quickly – this is going to be a topic for the next podcast because I'm not ready to do it yet. But what we had him do, he's on a lot of these websites that are these blogs and things that talk about – various things, and one of the things.
Boy, that zeroes in on various things.
Yeah,
you're a survivalist.
I'm trying to think how to put this.
Is a survivalist?
Why don't you just save it for the next podcast?
No, but and I'd like my listeners to start, or all of our listeners to start thinking about.
All five of them.
All five of them is a starter revolutionary kit. If you were gonna,
you talked about this on the other podcast.
No, but
a while
but we're gonna actually say,
list it out.
We're going to list what the recommended kit is from the gun owner's website. I guess that's what I was trying to say.
Well, that'll be
a good
one.
These are like the gun owner blogs, the gun owner forums where they talk about this. And these guys have he sent me a thing today with some of the recommended guns and the ammo. But one of the neat things on it that one of the guys replied to him was, I'm surprised you had to ask. I thought that was kind of funny coming from. Why did you even have to ask what a revolutionary's kit of guns would need to be?
Yeah.
It was like, you should have known this already.
Yeah.
But we're putting together a little, for those of you in the next podcast, if you're a revolutionary, listen, because we're going to tell you what kind of guns you ought to have in your basement before the UN or whoever happens to be the next agency that comes around and takes your guns away.
All right. I really want to get to what Jimmy was talking about, so maybe I'll save my stuff for later on because he has some interesting. Basically, Jimmy's going to provide us with Travels with Charlie, his own edition.
Ah. Well, you know, you do understand that this was with Mrs. Jimmy and Mrs. Jimmy's mama,
Grandma.
Right?
Grandma.
And we started out from Gainesville, and have traveled to Southern California, and now we've coming back. And this, so far, we've gone a little over 2 weeks with Grandma in the back seat driving.
At least you don't have her tied to the roof.
Well, no, and believe it, it has come up several times.
Yeah, well, rocking chair.
Yeah, no, we
I've met Grandma, ladies and gentlemen. She's a very nice lady.
Yes.
Yeah, he's going to say that.
Have to say that. Yeah, that's right. She doesn't have a weapon. Well, she does, actually. Take it back. That cane of hers.
She
has
a revolutionary's kit.
Yeah,
but anyway, there are some footmarks in the back of Jimmy's seat, though. I did notice that when I was helping her out of the car.
Now, this I do want to thank you all for letting me sit in because this is the Father's Day gift. This is the slice of heaven in a 3 week trip and a 3 week drive. Imagine being sealed in a Apollo like capsule, not with fellow astronauts, mind you, but we're talking about two ladies who have distinctly different ideas of where I should go, and never hesitate to tell me constantly. So it's part of the fun thing.
Are you talking about going in the afterlife or going down the road?
All of the above.
Okay, it's always nice to have direction.
Yeah, sure. I got plenty of them. Yeah. I'll tell you, nonstop. Right. You know, it's one of those things. But I did want to mention a couple of things that in my travels across the country, we had great weather, it was a great time, and of course this is the high point of my trip because I was able to come here to actually see airplanes and meet with the real hangar dogs. But we did go by, of course, some of the places that I'd wanted to stop were some Air Force and airplane museums. We went by several of them at warp speed because, and in fact, one of the places that I wanted to do was, I was taking some pictures out the window, and I don't mean we were going fast, But the since we were going faster than the speed of light, I took a picture of this one place, and when the film was developed, it actually was of the construction of the place. So it
wow.
The light had not
wow.
actually, yeah.
You I don't went mean, back in time.
Yeah, no, that's exactly
Dude.
Right. And no, that's true. And I mean, we got...
Jimmy's capable of going back in time.
No, we did this. I mean, I got pictures of Indians attacking Indians attacking things and so forth. So I mean, that's how fast we were going warp speed. I'm
well, at least you, know, you could stay away from the arrows coming at you.
Yeah,
so
that's right. No,
yeah.
We can use that. Hangar Dawes business venture. I got some ideas already.
Oh, boy.
Okay, well, this is good. So anyway, the thing I was mostly interested in traveling out here, we spent most of the time on the main highways, is I was wondering, no offense, but where are the poor people? I mean, I tell you, let me give you an example. We went into Deming, New Mexico. Deming is one of our little stops there. They have population 25,000. They have a super Walmart, the big one, the 200,000 square foot.
Oh, yeah. Foot,
the huge one. Okay.
Stuff,
they
yeah.
also had car dealerships with cars lined up to the horizon. Now, I don't know about you, but Walmart is not an idiot. They're going to sell. They don't put in a 230,000 square foot, whatever it is, unless there's people. 25,000 now this is. And they wouldn't let us have one in Gainesville. We have a 200,000 population for the county area. They've kept it out on this bogus Enviro crap. But what they're worried about is putting 10 people out of business. They care more about the 10 people than 200,000. As you mm-hmm. well know, that's government.
Yeah.
So anyway, the point is, here we are, the Ford dealership, the Nissan dealership, the Toyota dealerships, all lined up with cars for the horizon. And you know those are going to be sold to rich people, I don't know, in Deming, New Mexico, in the next 30 to 60 days. I mean, I don't know if you know how cars are sold, but it's on a floor planning thing
yep,
where
right,
you got,
yeah.
you know how that works? It's like you get a 30-day or 60-day freebie or whatever it is.
Right, and then you got to start
and then
paying
you gotta, and then you can start paying. And I'll tell you, the incentive to move those cars off the lot the last day of the second month is pretty strong.
Sure, yeah.
And you know, if you go on, that's when you make your best deals. So the point is, they're going to be sold. There were 1,000 cars in that place that are going to be sold in the next 30. And I saw this across the country. We just driving here, we passed by RV farms. And I'll tell you.
Oh, yeah.
No.
Hey, isn't that amazing, the number of RVs in those things?
No, it's unbelievable. I mean, I'm talking about farms that put FEMA to shame. These are places that have these huge, big, you know, $750,000 buses stacked in the lot.
Mm-hmm.
And they're
going
to be sold.
Yeah.
Not to mention the fifth wheels, the Airstreams, and I mean, to the horizon. And people talk about, well, we're going to make the rich people pay and the poor people, what about? And I'm saying, you know, I drove past, honest to God, just on my trip coming out, just on one road, basically, probably, I don't know, 50,000 cars, 100,000 cars that were average price, $25,000, $30,000. And I mean, you don't have to do much to do the math to find out we're a wealthy country.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we're so wealthy that we have signs before the street. You get to the street telling you what street you're going to come to in another half a block. I mean, you know,
I never thought of that.
No, I'm serious. We are rich people in this country.
My God, I'm so glad we do that.
I am not going to wait until I actually get to the street to find out what there's a sign 200 yards
yeah.
that says you're coming to this street.
Yeah.
Alert.
Yeah.
The pre-street sign.
No, that's exactly.
Or worst case is you can get the navigation system in your car that tells you you're coming up to it as well.
No,
so.
Quite. Yeah. It beeps at you, and you can touch the little screen,
yeah.
you know, and
oh,
it does.
Great.
Oh, no. So, I mean, I saw so many things that people don't realize that the capitalist system provides for you when you think about something as silly as a pre-street sign, and you look around, and there are other countries that don't have roads. I mean, we're talking about...
Much less street signs.
A street sign, we would dream of street signs.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the whole thing. And it actually makes some sense, and there's maps out there. So that was what I, in the big scheme of things, here's what I saw. A fabulously wealthy country doing pretty darn well for the worst economy, or if you listen to some of the people, how bad the economy is. Somebody's buying this stuff, and it's not all... the people from across the border. I'm telling you right now.
Yeah.
That's number one.
It's not the Canadians.
No. I can tell you right now. There's a lot of people buying that stuff. And then what I saw was, and I'm gonna go through my little list here.
Okay, good.
Real quick.
Oh, we got a list.
Jimmy is putting his glasses on.
Shut up.
They're in the house.
That's right. Here is one of the things I
get no slack here.
No, that's right.
Yeah.
As you well know, every government problem, every government solution always involves another problem. I mean,
solving a previous problem.
That's right. That they created.
Created by them.
And
yeah.
and they one of their favorite things, of course, is to tax, as you well know, sin, because they can raise the taxes to. Well, here I saw a pack of cigarettes.
And
it was
who's
like $6.
Who's going to complain when it's a sin tax?
Well, that's right. Well, of course, the gambling and
It's hard to get those people to come forward as a group.
For one second,
you know?
I want to tell you something about the trip. One of the most exciting parts of the whole trip, we stayed in Mosquito, Arizona, or where Mosquito, California. Mesquite. Okay, whatever. And we stayed at this place called the Oasis. They were giving the rooms away for nothing.
On 66? Was this on Highway 66?
No. This is on coming up here to Estes Park on 70, I think, or something.
Okay.
Whatever.
Okay.
Anyway, I nailed those. You know, they expected a gamble. I went down there and I gambled. I played blackjack and I was having fun. I cleaned their clock. Boy, I walked away with extra $10 in my pocket.
Oh, top notch.
No, seriously,
cleaned them out for the night.
I nailed them. Anyway,
wow.
Let me just tell you.
Closed early that night.
We should send you to Cripple Creek.
No, they were panic stricken. They were, you know. So anyway, as you know, to a man with a hammer.
And free drinks, but you don't, yeah.
No, I didn't.
Yeah, top notch.
To a man with a hammer, everything looks like a nail.
Sure.
Okay. Granted.
So anyway, so any problem can be solved by a new tax. Here are the ones that I've seen so far. They want to tax sodas to pay for health care. Because in the school, of course, they're taking the sodas out of the schools. Right. They want to have a special tax on sodas with sugar. Okay. They want to tax cigarettes to stop smoking. They want to tax liquor to stop drinking. They want to tax hookers to stop. Oh, no. That's not.
They
want to tax gas to stop driving.
They want to tax hookers? Cost going to go up?
See, they won't do that because there's a big constituency out there. That wouldn't go.
I always thought
it was tax-free, actually.
Yes, well, it's pretty expensive.
I didn't know they were reporting this.
They want to tax. They want to tax landlords in our town to stop parties. And
wait, to stop parties?
Yeah, they have a party patrol. Literally, they have something. What they do is they have a special tax on the landlords in Gainesville. It goes up every year. It started off like at $10 a unit, and now it's like $125, and it's to pay for the police to go stop the partying noise.
Ah, yeah.
And so in other words, you're paying
it's a college town.
Yeah,
college town kind
but,
of thing.
But the thing I've noticed is that government really is no fun. I mean, even though happiness is in our constitution.
They got no sense of humor.
No, but you understand, ours is the only constitution that has the word happiness
in
it.
Yeah, it has happiness
in there.
I mean,
it's what we do.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking
no smoking, no drinking, no whoring around.
I'm partying
with the IRS. This isn't what it used to be.
I'm wondering what these guys do, and they get the bit in their mouth, and they say every solution that they feel is a tax. And I know that here I've seen they wanted to do, like in Denver, they want to do this stuff. They always want to pass a new – I mean, that's the solution always, is to tax it. And I'm just wondering, at what point do you quit on this thing?
It's well, it gives them something to
do. Well, the thing about it is what's so funny, of course, as you know, with the cigarette thing that we had, the billions of dollars that the cigarette – okay, if everybody obeyed the law, they'd go broke. I mean, the simple fact, in Riverside, California, they're making a fortune. They put up the cameras with the pictures and
absolutely.
The radar thing. If you run the red light.
We talked about that. Yeah, we talked about that in previous podcast.
$400.
Sure.
And no humans involved. No humans involved. It's all automatic. The stamping machine, the envelope, the addressing, it looks it up on your driver's license and sends you the thing. Nobody does anything. You suddenly get a picture of yourself and your license tag. Please enclose $400 self-addressed, but not stamped.
They do that on the toll road of 470 up in Denver. They've got the same thing.
$400?
Yeah. No, I don't know how much it costs, but they do the same thing. I Pinky and I both have a common buddy, Rodeo, who may or may not listen to this, but Rodeo, I remember him showing me the picture. He got caught driving speed of heat, and they just took a picture of him, bam.
But let me digress for just a minute. You brought up an interesting point about those photographs that those are responsible for an unspecified number of divorces where the picture got the picture got taken and actually sent to the home, and the wife opens it and there's a picture of the guy driving with and that's not the missus.
Yeah.
All right, I didn't mean to digress there, but I remember reading something about that there have been several cases where the guy comes home for dinner.
Yeah, he comes home for dinner,
and the wife.
Why are you so distracted?
Honey, what were you doing today here? Whatever, such and such a day. And it turns out that actually on such and such a day, he was not at work that day.
Yeah.
Guess what? Surprise, yeah.
Oh, well, that's good. That's a positive note to all that, so that's good.
Yeah, positive for whom?
But for me, actually, for just the sheer, entertainment of it all.
That's right, for something to put in the podcast.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, that's great. So anyway, that's the whole point is that, it, of course, what did you find is we were driving up here. As a matter of fact, there's a new little gambling town out here. What's that gambling? Black well, Hawk? Black something?
Well, Cripple Creek. Is that what you're talking about?
No, or? Central City. Near.
Oh, Central City. You came in from the other side.
Yeah,
Central City is another little.
It's but they have a new town right next to it that is unbelievably huge.
Black Hawk?
Black Hawk. That's it. But I find it interesting. The reason I find that interesting is in Florida, they have to outlaw gambling in order to have gambling. Because nobody would.
Well, again, same here. I mean, it's not like that's.
To give it that certain allure.
No. The lottery would never make. Nobody would ever buy a lottery ticket in Florida because the payoff stinks.
Right.
Whereas, a mafia don would be embarrassed.
Sure.
To have that kind of a payoff.
Yeah.
But it's for the poor people.
It's
and the
old outlaw. So you get the monopoly on it. The government gets a monopoly on it then.
Right, but is this thing, and not that it matters, I'm digressing, in Black Hawk or whatever it is, that but isn't that like Las Vegas or something?
Well, no, that's state run.
It is.
Well, it's private clubs, but it's state run, basically.
Okay.
State regulated.
Well, you could tell they were preparing for something because of all the parking lots.
And it's $5 maximum. It's limited gambling. Vegas is not, it's not a Vegas style. It's limited gambling. Although the big thing up there right now, I understand, in both Cripple Creek and Black Hawk, and well, they're really Black Hawk and Central City are about the same.
Right.
But the big thing now is the Texas poker.
Texas Hold'em.
Hold'em poker.
Yeah.
That's the big deal because they're making a lot more money off that than they are on like the blackjack tables and the other tables. That's everybody. They have these. I don't know. The poker series where you play and you win, you get so many points, and you work your way up to the World Series of Poker.
Your buy-in can be pretty substantial after a while.
It can be. But they have the games here, I think, are like a $100 buy-in.
There's a max.
They're not covered on ESPN?
No, you wouldn't see that.
No.
It's supposed to be family fun gambling, you know, not the...
I'll tell you, it was interesting to see the family fun in the Oasis, which is a nice place, by the way. In Mesquite, California.
Wherever the hell it is.
Wherever it was, border town. But
Mesquite, rubber baby.
Yeah. It was amazing to see the pyramid-shaped people sitting in front of the slot machines. And, I mean, just like robots. Kachunga, kachunga. God. I mean, you talk about.
That's living, pal.
That's living.
Oh, boy. Yeah. That's what I want to do when I retire.
Oh, man.
I just want to go up and sit at the slots and just chunk away.
Well, when Hanger Dogs goes pro, that's what we're going to move to Vegas, and we're going to do our show out of Vegas.
God,
so
no.
that way we can.
Vegas.
We're going to move to
Mesquite.
Ruby
River.
Route 66, man. We're going down on Route 66.
That's it.
We're going to move into a trailer is what we're going to do.
All right, what else we got? We got
well,
anything
Jimmy,
else
I was kind of hoping he was continuing.
I got a couple more things that I saw. Let me just mention
them.
I'm sorry.
We're still driving down the road with Jimmy.
Well,
welcome to Driving Down the Road with Jimmy.
Yeah, that's it.
Top notch.
We spent some time in Riverside, California, and in that area, there was a fellow named Bill Posthumus.
Posthumus.
Boy, that's a very unfortunate last name.
Isn't that the truth? He spent $1 million of his own money to become the county assessor. Now, I'm wondering, what is...
$1 million to be a county assessor.
Right. I mean, I tell you, I don't think that's a step up in pay. I mean...
No, it's not. But if you've got an axe to grind and you know, $1 million is nothing to you and you really want to screw some people over, that's a good way to do it.
It's less than that to hire the hitman. I think that if you really had that much of
but
a...
But what would be the...
Well, they're not certainly...
No, but I mean, it's not like the guy was running for... Governor. No, I mean, this is tax. This is a guy who's,
I mean, do people,
who is within.
Do people bribe the county assessor?
You have to understand, this guy lives one cubicle over from the dog catcher. I mean,
Is there any money to be had in assessors?
A little bit, but not much. No, because your taxes aren't that bad for the property.
Well, I mean, mostly they.
Oh, right.
Normally.
No, but I mean, mostly they assess.
No, normally it's a vendetta thing. Most people that are willing to go to that extreme, there's a vendetta.
He lost.
Good.
So, but
we,
I mean, I just,
oh, he
I
lost?
Was, a, yeah, he lost. I was, a, not by much,
we,
but he lost. But
we
I
had
was
a similar issue with Teller County, which
I like
is the county over
I'm
from.
I'm into vendettas.
Teller County had an assessor, and she's just a nutbag, but she basically wanted to take over as a county assessor. And there was a guy that got pissed off with the existing county assessor and funded her campaign to a lot of money. Fortunately, she lost,
yeah.
But hers was a vendetta, and this guy that funded it was definitely a vendetta.
Well, see, people, the thing about it is when you realize this is a government office and supposedly the government has the legal right to use guns, and if you don't like what they do, ultimately you can, as you know, be shot. I mean, if they come to your door and say you didn't pay your taxes, you say, get off my property, the next guy that shows up is armed and dangerous.
Once they went through the process,
yeah,
you're in the wrong. It's no longer private property.
Yeah, no, and they will threaten you. You know, no, they carry a gun for a reason. I don't think they're bluffing. The other thing, let's see, I had one more thing. Oh, one thing that really was a big hit. We went to a truck stop and bought a hat that looked great. It was called the Border Patrol. It said U.S. Border. Have you ever seen them?
Yeah.
U.S. Border Patrol. I mean, and you talk about.
I think Town Hall is selling U.S. Border Patrol.
Man,
hats.
I'll tell you. Yeah. Well,
townhall.com.
We were at some truck stop, and I'll tell you, that was, we could have handed those things out and made money on that.
Because
we didn't find them anyplace else.
Yeah.
The last thing I've got that I saw in passing through Loveland on my way here today.
Loveland, Colorado, yeah.
Loveland, Colorado. Was the headline was, well, I'm sorry, I got some more headlines here.
Oh, top notch. Okay, he has actual papers.
I have actual papers that
I
picked up on the trip.
Research, ladies and gentlemen.
Let's
research.
Not get carried away.
He's got a newspaper in his
hand.
These
were freebies that I picked up in the motels.
We consider that research.
All right, yeah. If it was delivered to your door in the morning, it doesn't count. That's like Hanger Dog's Law, like the man law thing. Hanger Dog's Law. So that's good. Tap the bottom of your beer bottle.
The council is having to vote on whether to spend $10,000 for new chairs, for 11 chairs for the council. They want new chairs.
Ah, well.
$950 each. Can you? I mean, I don't know about you, but that's
nice.
Now
chairs.
This chair I'm sitting in here, it's
$69.
I would guess it
paid
was,
for by our generous corporate sponsor.
It may have even been less. I don't know.
I would guess that these are $800 or $900 chairs.
No, $69. They're not expensive.
I guess wrong.
Well, put that on your overhead.
Yeah. Okay.
Well, he didn't ask me what I charged IRS or what I put on my books.
No,
he didn't ask me about books.
True.
He asked me about actuals.
I'm learning more and more every day.
Okay. Here are the last two things, and one of these we might actually want to talk about if we have time. But the cute thing I got from the Vail Daily on which driving through Vail. I thought the big headline, huge headline here.
Sure.
Man detained acting oddly near Cheney.
Now, I thought everybody acted odd. I thought everybody acted odd near Cheney.
Oh, this is another one of those oh duh moments. Man detained. I mean, the Secret Service, you know, they hustled this guy off for acting oddly.
Sure.
They didn't go into any specifics, huh?
No,
He wasn't dressed like a pheasant or anything, was he?
It said he wasn't acting like other folks.
Okay.
The
Secret Service would whisk the entire Hanger Dogs crew away if we ever were any close to anybody of note.
Yeah, speaking of that, Pinky's back in town. Where'd this take place?
Yeah.
This was
Pinky's in Colorado.
Wait, he's back in Colorado.
Vail Daily.
Oh, that could be Pinky.
No, they said his name was something.
P. Pinky. His name was P. Inky.
Pinky. Pinky, 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 Pinky.
Says that's my gangsta name.
Yeah.
It's P. Inky.
P. Inky, yeah. Well, no, I don't, but they let him go. So that was awfully nice.
Never convicted. That's Pinky's motto. That's part of his handle.
That's how he gets away with this stuff.
Well, it's called getting away.
He's so top notch.
Right. Okay, the last thing I've got here, which I just picked up in the USA Today headline. And I thought, I don't know if we're going to spend a lot of time on it today. Probably not, because we're way over.
We can spend as much time as you want. Eric, this is Eric's problem, not mine.
No, that's right. He can split it into one or two.
This is Eric's problem, not mine, so I don't care.
The Supreme Court of the United States is allowing no-knock searches. Let me tell you, interestingly enough, the conservatives were the ones who were the majority on this.
No shit.
Yeah, it was Clarence Thomas and those guys. It was the
all right.
Libs.
Well, now you got to go into more specifics, Sam.
I'm done.
What kind of no knock searches?
I
read the headline.
Where's Counselor Curtis when we need him? Actually,
the case came
to the Supreme Court.
And it
basically the police officers. This happened in Michigan, if I recall, right?
This, let's see, drugs, evidence, Detroit, yes.
Detroit. Mm-hmm. This happened in Detroit. They had a search warrant. They announced that they were coming in, but nobody knocked on the door.
They waited 5 seconds.
Yeah. And they came in. And, you know, what's wrong with that? Well, they said, you didn't knock.
The rule is 20 seconds, they said here.
Yeah.
and they waited 5 seconds. They didn't knock.
What they're saying, what they fundamentally are saying is, you know what, that you can't really reject that based on that. Yes, you can say, you know, bad cop, no donut, but you can't throw away all of that evidence just because of that. That's what they're really saying.
Yeah. Wow. And but it was
so they're limiting the damage of a cop doing something maybe a little bit wrong, even though there's a bad guy doing bad things.
Well, the point taken, this says this 5-4 decision backing is a major shift, number one. And, of course, the fear is that now all searches, all things will be no-knock. In other words, you have a warrant. You have to get a warrant still.
Yes, you'd still
so
do. You
to, so it's still legal, but now you can just, instead of announcing, you just bust in. Okay.
We need Curtis to take a look at that.
Yeah, we do. Because the majority was Alito.
Because Clarence Thomas, I really respect him.
He's a licensed attorney. Well, went actually through on my nickel, thank you so much. Nickel.
Personally, I trust Eric the engineer.
Eric,
I've devoted my life to the teachings of Eric.
You should, yes.
And incidentally, Eric, I sent a package home with Jimmy in the trunk, so if it doesn't show up, it's not my problem.
Oh, that's, yeah.
Oh, thanks
that,
a lot.
I've had that happen before.
Yeah, right. Okay.
I've heard that story before.
The package is sealed right now.
Yeah. One of the things that I think about out here, though, as far as you're talking about, Eric, is we were thinking about setting up a mountain shrine where people could come and leave things, you know.
That's cool. You know,
and wear robes kind of thing.
Okay, robes are always good. It could be Sears Terry cloth robes, or they could be Victoria's Secret robes, depending upon your...
Food, robes, money, works. Yeah. It all works when you set up a shrine.
So anyway, the bottom line is that the dissenters were Breyer, who is the one who counts on decisions from Kenya. And
that's how he bases
Gavin.
His legal opinion.
Right, exactly. Right, yeah. Ruth Bader Ginsburg, who, of course, say no more.
Wears a doily around her neck.
Yeah, exactly.
we don't need to go there.
And David Souter and John Paul Stevens, they were dissenters. They were the ones that said, you got to have the knock, you got to announce it, you got to wait 20 seconds. The majority, Alito, Kennedy, Roberts, Scalia, and Thomas. So it was a conservative...
Are you giving them 20 seconds to, like, put their pajamas on or something?
No,
is that what it is?
Yeah, I'm sure that's what it is.
Or to flush the shit down the
drain. No. They want to see naked people. Please put that robe on, lady. You know, that kind of thing.
Well, they can say that when they get in there. It's not like none of the cops have ever seen that before. They go to strip clubs just like me.
I got one final one to close out.
Okay.
And then we'll wrap up.
How much time have we been on here?
It doesn't matter. It's Eric's problem, not mine.
Well, no. I mean, how much
it's 2 hours. Or an hour and a half. Hour and a half.
Okay, all right. Because I got lots of good stuff.
We can go on. It's Eric's problem. I don't care. You got more?
I'm going to save this one for the weekend.
But let me go do this one. You look at that while I do this one. I got one that I want to talk about.
All right.
Because this is probably a controversial thing.
We should devote stuff that topics that Jimmy would.
Well, wait a minute. Controversial?
Enjoy.
I'm not into
no,
that.
No. This is the, as you guys probably know, and this is a strange one because it's emotional. But
does this have to do with bathrobes and?
No. State Judiciary Committee last week, they actually took another step towards the flag burning amendment.
Oh, God.
Protecting the flag.
All right.
And this is, I mean, the thing that always comes out in this is the veterans of foreign wars and you know, what are we fighting for? We're dying for the flag, and now you're going to let, you know, we can't let people burn it. And I think that misses the point. And I'm probably, you know, and I'm as pro-military as everybody, but flags are just symbolism. It's just a flag. And what it means different things to different people. And I really don't believe that we'll make this short, but it's just my personal position on this.
I have my position, which I'll come in with quickly.
I really do not believe we need a constitutional amendment to protect the flag. The whole point of the people who have died protecting the flag, they're also protecting the very thing that United States stands for, and that is the freedom to burn a flag if you so desire. There is no need for a constitutional amendment to protect the flag. In the short of it, it was just a thing that's coming out right now, and the conservatives seem to be just hammering this. They just feel like we need a constitutional amendment to protect the flag, and I disagree with that. I disagree wholeheartedly that needs
to be. I don't think there needs to be an amendment. What there needs to be is a law that if someone is burning a flag, you can kick his ass. That's all you need, right? That's it.
I think that goes without saying, but I mean, you know.
Basically, you waive all protection under the legal system if you burn the flag. And then nobody's going to, you know, if nobody touches you, then you got away with it. But if somebody comes over and kicks your ass, then
I think that of course this kind of thing really has no basis in being in the Constitution. This is not a constitutional issue as I see it, number one. And number two, the one line that I do remember from West Wing that was pretty good that Martin Sheen said was, has anybody noticed a big, has there been flag burnings? Is there some kind of an epidemic of flag burnings going on that I missed here? Where did I?
I'm not. And being vested in that whole, I don't think the flag thing is a military thing. And I don't think we have the moral authority like Maureen Dowd may attribute to somebody, but we don't have, the military guys don't have
absolute moral.
We don't have the absolute moral authority about that.
No,
but it doesn't, you know, if you let me go kick their ass, I'd be happy. But beyond that, I'm not so big on this whole amendment thing.
I didn't mean the military thing, but what I meant was it's usually the veterans who come out and say, well, this is what we fought and died for.
And they did.
So you need to
And they're absolutely
this.
Right to have their opinion about that and express it.
They
and
have
protest
their own
it.
Flag. They can keep it.
Man, yeah. I just disagree with what they fought and died for. I believe what they fought and died for was the very – when you talk about free speech and all these freedoms that we have, it's a double-edged sword. It's not always – it's really neat because – you agree with me, it's when the person disagrees with you is when you tend to say, well, geez, wait a minute, maybe we need to limit this freedom of speech.
See, but
thing.
That's,
like,
that's
it
the,
can get
that's
really
a liberal,
ugly.
That's a liberal cause
I know,
celeb.
And I say that's why I believe they fought and died for the very right for me to burn the flag if I so desire.
Listen, but this falls into a whole category of things, and that is the offended person decides if it's wrong, not the offendee.
The one decides.
So that's the sexual harassment thing. If you say something perfectly innocent, and she says, "Oh, I don't like that anymore," and then suddenly
you got to see these emotions.
Yeah, why does that happen to me an awful lot?
And then you're in court. You know, it
was, yeah. Next thing, I spent more.
I remember a Drew Carey thing one time where he put a cartoon on the wall or something, and they dragged his butt into court because it was perfectly innocent. So this is the same kind of thing. Yeah. If you're offended by a flag burning, you may be offended by. I mean, I'm offended if somebody spills a beer.
I'm offended. I'm definitely offended over that.
I mean, what a waste.
Agreed.
I mean, the abuse of liquor is not using
I think that goes without
it.
Saying here at Hanger Dogs.
Yeah, there's a website out there with me licking the beer off the floor because I spilled it.
Yeah,
so,
that's right.
I hold true to those values.
That's right.
I even have it on the web.
The problem is the bloody tongue that goes with it.
No. It was on a hanger floor.
Oh, okay.
It was well associated with a hanger.
But again, to wrap that up, I think where I disagree with people is that the thing that we fight and die to protect our freedoms are the very things that sometimes can be some of the most annoying things we have to bear. But that's what it's all about.
Don't have a freedom not to be annoyed is what it boils
down to.
That's
right. That's right. And I'm man enough to, I won't like it. I won't appreciate it. I value it more than these other a-holes. And they're leveraging that value to burn it. Otherwise, they wouldn't burn it.
Exactly.
If I didn't hold a value to
that's
it.
That's exactly
so
right.
So that's what they're attacking.
But I also like that one. You guys have probably seen that on the internet, that picture of the flag burning in.
Oh, the some Middle Eastern guys lighting a flag and catching themselves on fire.
All right.
See?
Yeah.
That's top notch.
Now, that's top notch,
that
right?
Like,
I'll use, yeah,
that
that's,
was like top notch.
That was Hair Dog's lighter fluid they
used.
No,
that's good.
That was good. Fantastic.
Yeah.
All right, what have you got?
All right, have you got anything?
I got the one last thing on that, of course, is you're not allowed to burn a flag around here because we're on a fire alert.
Right, exactly.
So,
you can't do it.
Yeah, I can't do it anyways.
And that's all you have to do.
There
across
you go.
The country,
boom.
Put
hey.
Us all on
boom.
A fire
yeah,
alert,
fire
and
alert.
Bam,
yeah.
you can arrest
boom.
Them.
Done.
I just say, it doesn't offend me when somebody burns the American flag. It's just a statement, and we make statements every day. What the hell? Who cares? What do you got?
Hey.
Anything? Here comes. We actually got.
That's an RV6 that just went by. Hey, Wellington, New Zealand. All right?
New Zealand.
Sheep country.
A woman who dashed into an international rugby match wearing a skimpy bikini, and aren't they all, was fined for disorderly behavior.
But
her online auction of the garment already has drawn a bid of 10 times the fine. So Lisa Lewis.
So she's selling her bikini on eBay.
Yeah, she ran onto a field during a rugby match between New Zealand and Ireland last weekend before she was, of course, escorted away by security guards. When her case was called in the Hamilton Magistrates Court on Friday, Lewis was convicted of disorderly behavior and fined $206.
Rightly so.
Sure. Some people may.
$206.
I haven't
New
seen
Zealand.
Her. I don't know if she should have been paid or she should have paid. Right. And you know how that goes.
Sure.
So it may be that she really should have paid. She goes, I'm happy. I thought it was going to be a lot more. If I was in court, I would have jumped up and given the judge a big hug. So she was quite pleased with that.
Now,
go ahead.
They're going to make sure that she doesn't wash it before she sends it to whoever.
Well, you know, that's kind of the creepy thing about it, but I think, you know, that's probably part of the deal.
Let's not go there, okay, guys?
No, but I'm with Jimmy. There's, I mean, you know.
That's part of the deal.
I mean, they could have put that on the eBay thing.
Yeah.
But at any rate, she began an online auction of the bikini to help pay the fine. And just hours before it was due to close Friday, bids for the garment had reached 2,496 of your New Zealand dollars.
Ah.
Yeah.
I wonder what the exchange rate is right now.
Well, it doesn't matter. Actually, that's U.S. Google. Well, she said it was, the article says 2,496. I don't know if they bought it.
You can bet that they transferred it to U.S.
All right. Who knows? I mean, she paid, what, $24 for a freaking bikini, and somebody's going to pay her for that. And I think Jimmy's absolutely correct.
I'd want a certificate of authenticity.
Yeah,
on that.
Exactly. It has not
notarized.
Been
no, that's right. If you washed, no good. All
yeah,
bets are
no
off.
Good. It's almost washing Monica Lewinsky's blue dress. It just doesn't work.
You guys, good.
Yeah, yeah. But at any rate, here.
I cringe.
Now, a wrench in the monkey works.
Ah.
Yeah. A man who identified himself as Lewis's former boyfriend claimed he bought the bikini for her and told a newspaper he wanted the online auction halted. If not, he said, the proceeds should go to him. Now, okay, all right. So
this is a lotto ticket thing.
All right. So
boyfriends don't cut no shit.
Yeah. So Jet Ranger, you got buy a bikini and you sell it online. You're gonna make $2,496. No, it's because she sported it at a rugby match. That's where the money is. That's the value added to it.
Yeah, it was $24 back.
So suck it up. Yeah. You're a freaking loser.
You're exactly
boyfriend
right.
Boyfriend in New Zealand, loser.
You're right.
Yeah. Here's your $24.
In the marker world. Her spouting it was the value added.
That's exactly
That's right.
She
otherwise, that was a $29 Australian
is.
Dollar
otherwise,
bikini.
It's another piece of crap bikini. But that's where the value is associated with, and the fact that you bought it, big deal, pal. Suck it up. Maybe she can give you the $24 that you know back to you after she gets her money.
Well, this is like the lotto ticket, you know, where you give it to somebody and they win the $10,000 and they say, here's your dollar, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah, on top notch.
Yeah.
Let's see. Anything else? I think I'm out. I think I'm Winchester, as we say
in
naval aviation.
You know, I got stuff, but I think Eric has got a real challenge here. And
yeah,
anyway,
no, he doesn't. He's good.
And here comes
you. Always say you're such a cynic. You're so down on this.
And here comes the music anyway. So it doesn't matter.
Well, that's all right. We'll just
wrap
fade
it up.
This.
Now,
fade
well,
this.
Jimmy, by the way, will be home in about if all else goes correctly.
If you're given correct directions.
If I've given correct directions, well, I'm thinking when the girls get the bits in their mouth, I could be home. Let's see, if we leave here tomorrow morning at 9, that could give us 12 hours straight through at 128 miles an hour. And so, no, that's not going to happen.
With grandma driving.
With grandma driving. No, but the bottom line is there's a very real possibility that we'll be back on the real little Jimmy Jones show next by this weekend, maybe Sunday.
Ah!
Outstanding.
I want to thank you so much for this little slice of heaven. I'm not kidding you. The little slice of heaven in the trip. You cannot imagine what it's like. I may describe this on my website. I don't
know.
Well,
you know what? We thank you the same. And as a matter of fact, this podcast that we do here, Hangar Dogs Podcast, would never have come to fruition unless, you know, Gene, who listened to your podcast.
True.
In the early days.
He was
a fervent listener, and he decided, you know what, this sounds like a lot of fun. Let's put this together. And he funded, well, the corporate sponsor funded the technology and everything. And then, you know,
the corporate sponsor at the time actually funded more than she realized she was funding.
But she's quite happy.
And Engineer Eric was basically, absolutely.
Let me go into that a little
bit. That's why he's our hero.
While we got Jimmy here, let me go into that a little bit. Because what really happened
this won't get cut. I can guarantee you that anything about Eric is not going to get cut.
That's gospel.
I sent an email to the Jimmy Doan Show, and Eric replied, Eric the Engineer, that we call Eric the Engineer. They call him Engineer Eric.
Yeah.
But I never even at the time I thought that he would reply. And since Eric and I have become very good friends over.
Because he was such big time and you were such a loser.
No, but when you look at
that.
No, but when you look at the.
This
here
is
we
the
are.
Jimmy Doan Show.
No, yeah, well, and truthfully, in truth,
sir,
yes,
could I have
at
more
that
gruel?
Time, they were an established and very good, a high quality. Because at the time, I was actually talking to Mrs. Jimmy tonight, and I was saying at the time, I had listened to literally many podcasts, and most of them sounded like.
How many
some,
is that?
Some,
many,
hundreds.
Many.
A jerk-offs with a internet headset or game headset doing a podcast in their living room, and the quality was horrible. And Jimmy Jones was one of the ones, and I was politically oriented, so I was looking for a political talk show. Listen to Jimmy. Jimmy had the multi-man format, which to me, even the ones that were high quality, which was a single guy just ranting about whatever his rant of the day was,
yeah,
was horrible. I mean, it did. The neat thing about the Jimmy Doan show was it was almost like voyeurism, where you're listening in on a conversation of a group of people that are having fun, and I really like that format. And when I talked with Eric, I said, "Oh, help me with some equipment." He actually wrote back, "Help me set up the studio."
Mm-hmm.
Then I went out and recruited Stitch and Pinky.
Well, Stitch. Because you didn't know Pinky from Adam.
Pinky.
Stitch recruited the rest of the players.
Stitch. Dominoes fall in certain orders, you know.
He knew the go-to like man, which was Stitch. So Stitch grabbed Pinky, and I grabbed Chester and K-Man when we needed him. And
the rest is history.
And
but indeed, the Jimmy Dean.
Jimmy Dean.
See, rice hockey, I told you.
That's it.
The Jimmy Dome. The Jimmy Dome format. We adopted the Jimmy Dome format, and engineer Eric helped us make the show possible.
Yeah,
so at any rate,
Eric, the engineer.
This is indeed a privilege for us to have Jimmy Dome on the show. We thank him for stopping by and doing a show with us.
It's top notch.
And we recommend all of you guys go to jimmydome.com.
Yeah, we give Jimmy triple snaps.
Jimmy gets triple snaps every week from us.
It's a shame Pinky couldn't be here, but he was.
Well, next time.
Next time you come through. Oh, hey, absolutely.
This is on my regular route now.
And you guys that are listening to us now, make sure you listen to us, our next follow-on podcast, because we will have live here,
whatever we call it. They'll be in the studio. We'll be Pinky back from Canada and K-Man in from Iowa, so it'll be great. So, Jimmy, thanks once again.
Hey,
thanks.
My pleasure.
Top notch. You get big top notch from Hangar.
All right, we're out of here.
Right.
Done.